It's well established that populations of homeless people are present all over the region. We've explored county by county in a series of interviews we call Out in the Cold. Today, the focus turns to Douglas County, which shares some issues leading to and dealing with homelessness, but also has its own particular set of issues. One of them is the far-flung nature of Douglas County, which stretches all the way from the Cascades to the ocean. We'll talk to two service providers today. Penny McHugh is the executive director at Casa de Belen for homeless youth in Roseburg. Thanks for joining us, Penny.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
And Mike Fieldman's with us as well. He's the executive director of UCAN, the United Community Action Network, serving both Douglas and Josephine counties. We'll focus on Douglas here. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us, too.
Penny, let's start with you. It sounds like the idea of young people being homeless in Roseburg bothered people in the community enough to take some action. Is that the story of Casa de Belen?
Absolutely. Back in the early 2000s, there was a study done by the Area League of Women Voters, and they determined that we had a significant homeless youth population that was not being addressed or really even acknowledged at that time. And that's sort of how, I mean, I think that the community action and, you know, programs like Mike and UCAN had known it was around, but that brought a lot of attention to the program back then and to the need for the programs that serve homeless youth.
What does the name mean?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What does the name Casa de Belen mean?
Oh, it means House of Bethlehem, which is, interestingly enough, we are not religiously affiliated at all or connected to any particular faith or church. However, our organization was started by a Catholic priest and one of his parishioners.
Oh, well, you could also look at it in terms of no room at the inn, because that is the story of From Bethlehem.
Absolutely. Well. Mm-hmm. We do realize that a lot. We utilize that a lot at Christmas.
It is billed as transitional housing. So what are the circumstances in which people arrive at Casa de Belen, and under what circumstances can they leave?
Well, hopefully they can leave in any circumstance if they so choose. We're
sure.
Not a mandated program at all. But people arrive to us at several different avenues. People are referred to us from schools. We'll have youth referred to us from the McKinney-Vento liaisons through the school systems. We have people referred to us from church. They self-refer. Our greatest source of residents, however, are direct referrals from the Department of Human Services, the DHS.
All right. And Mike Fieldman, the executive director at UCAN, we got a sampling of services in Josephine County when we talked with Justina Fife from UCAN there. Douglas County is obviously where UCAN started. Are the services a bit more comprehensive there?
There's a couple more services we do here. We do public transportation here, but for the most part, what we do in Douglas County is real similar to what we do down in Josephine County. We do also do affordable housing. We have some of our own housing complexes and units. We have about 94 units of affordable housing in Douglas County.
So I know this is the time of year for the point-in-time homeless survey. Has that already begun in Douglas County?
Actually, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be happening in both Douglas and Josephine County, so we're gearing up for that.
Okay. Where are the trends going generally in previous years? I mean, the most recent set of numbers you have, does it look like you're getting more homeless people all the time in Douglas County?
We got, when you compare 2015 to 2017, we saw a slight uptick. It went from about 404 to 463. But a lot of that is variable depending upon the weather and who comes out and who we can find. And so I think for the most part, it's holding fairly steady. And I think the population, the homeless population in Douglas County is pretty compatible to what is there statewide. So, like, Douglas County has about 2.7% of the state population, and Douglas County has, in 2015, we had about 2.9% of the homeless counted in the point-of-time count. Last year, in 2017, we had about 3.3%. So I think the number of homeless is pretty comparable to the overall general population.
Is there anything specifically that drives homelessness in Douglas County that might be unique just to Douglas County?
I don't think there's anything particularly unique about it. I think it's just reflective of what we're seeing elsewhere in the state and elsewhere in Josephine County, where we have a real cross-section of people. I think when you talk about homelessness, people tend to think of the guy on the street, but in reality, the homeless population is much more diversified. In fact, sort of Penny alluded to, about a third, actually, of the people in our homeless count last year were actually under 18, so they were kids. And the other thing that's interesting, over half of them were female. And so I think when you start digging into the homeless population, it doesn't fit the sort of the stereotype that a lot of people have. Homeless population are domestic violence victims and then also veterans. So if anything, we may see in Southern Oregon more veterans than probably elsewhere.
So I want to underscore what you're saying here. So the people who are visible on the streets are not representative of the overall homeless population?
No, not at all. I think that's sort of that's the face of it. That's what people see. But in rural areas, a lot of homelessness tends to be invisible. And so people are either staying with friends or they are in shelters or they're in cars. And so I think the majority of the homeless in rural areas are ones we don't see on the street.
Out in the cold in Douglas County, the topic here on The Exchange with Mike Fieldman, who is the executive director of the UCAN, the United Community Action Network. Penny McHugh is the executive director at Casa de Belen in Roseburg. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So if a third of the homeless population is under 18, is that also holding fairly steady, Penny, in Douglas County?
That's what we've found. I've been with Casa de Belen for about 5.5 years. Before that, I was president of the Douglas County Housing and Homeless Coalition. And our numbers of homeless youth have stayed consistent at, counted versus actual is going to be different because obviously with the homeless count, it's a little underreported. But we find there's an average of about 300 homeless youth in our area. And again, that includes doubled up housing, living in cars, couch surfing, and those numbers are included in that.
I wonder then, I mean, I always work on the assumption that teenagers might be even more reluctant than anybody else to admit that they're homeless. And I wonder if some cases they'd be categorized as homeless, even though they would not even think of themselves as homeless.
Absolutely. I think that's the case, especially when they're couch surfing and moving from friend's home to friend's home to friend's home. They think if they have a roof over their head, they consider themselves housed, when they would technically fit the definition of homeless.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the other thing, too, we, in some regards, we have a better handle on youth homelessness because of the school systems having the McKinney-Vento coordinator. And our coordinator in our local community is really good at engaging the kids in the school and identifying them and working with them. And so I think she's developed a real trust relationship with the kids there, and so they tend to be a little more apt to talk to her and let her know what their situation is.
McKinney-Vento, I know, allows the students to stay in the schools they're from, even if their families had to move around. What other services do they get, Penny?
She does a lot of direct referrals to us. So we're in touch with our McKinney-Vento liaison all the time. I mean, she is a person who will call us on the phone daily and say, I've got a kid who is at the risk at becoming homeless. What do you have available, or can we get them in? And providing that kind of transportation. And it's probably outside of her job description, all the things that our McKinney-Vento liaison does. She is wonderful to the youth. She makes sure that there's access to food, everything like that.
Yeah. And I'll just say one of the things that UCAN works with is we have a snack pack program that we work with the schools on. And so we have a couple of churches in the community that regularly put together snack packs that goes to the schools, and then she hands them out on Fridays for kids going home over the weekend so that they have food.
So at Casa de Belen, you can fit up to 60 people, I guess, Penny, is that right?
We can, yes.
And how often are you at or even over capacity?
Lately it's been pretty nice that we have not been over capacity, but there have been times the last 5 years where we've stretched our licensing limits and gone up to 65. Because we not only serve youth, we serve families with a youth. So a homeless family that has an adolescent in the family dynamic. So we have parents in our facility also.
And grandparents, I guess, in some cases, you're saying on the website.
We do. We have had grandparents who are parenting their grandchildren and have come to us. And, the dynamics are all different. And every story of how people come to us is a unique story. But we get some really wonderful people in our program, and it's really neat to see them, you know, working towards success and that self-sufficiency. But lack of affordable housing in our community is really a barrier from them leaving our program. We used to have a time-limited program where they had 2 years to get on the path of self-sufficiency, and we realized that really just wasn't realistic. One, if we get a kid who comes in as an unaccompanied minor that comes with no parent at the age of 15, when they're turned 17, they're not ready to rent an apartment or legally can. And even if they're at the right age with a full-time job, and, you know, which is usually a minimum wage job, it's very difficult for them to secure housing, affordable housing in our community.
All right. So that you got services that can cover them before they actually get to be adults, for sure.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that's part of it is the working poor. There are people who work full-time jobs who still cannot afford to transition to housing outside of our program.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call here. We have John and Eugene, not the same John we had earlier. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Penny McHugh and Mike Fieldman. We're talking about homelessness in Douglas County. John, go ahead. Okay, it looks like John is listening through his radio, and that means that he's listening to us 10 seconds after we say everything because of our delay box. So we'll come back and talk to our guests here. Mike, are there any efficiencies you get from providing services in two neighboring counties with Douglas and Josephine in your purview at UCAN?
Yeah, there is mainly on our administrative level. I mean, we are able to provide the services that with a lot less overhead than would have had if when it was two separate agencies. But also I think a lot of things too is we just get to share information and share experiences from each county that is, so the learning opportunity from each other. So be able to pick the best from each county as to, how we can accomplish things. So, it really is when we combined the two counties about 8-9 years ago, it was a real benefit to both communities.
You mentioned that homelessness is a different thing in rural areas, and of course Douglas County is mostly rural and a huge county from the Cascades to the ocean. I mean, so are you able to provide services across the breadth of that county?
We are, but of course it's different. The intensity of service we can provide is a little less rich when we get out into the hinterlands. But we really are looking more and more at mobile facilities. We're currently looking at working with Umpqua Community Health Center to look at a mobile health center that can go out and meet people where they're at. We're also looking at a mobile food market so we can take food out to some of the food deserts in our communities. And then we do a lot of the staff outreach. We have a mobile van that goes out during different times of the year, and we'll work with families in the community. So we spend a lot of time on the road too with it. But the concentration of the homeless population really tends to be in the Roseburg area, and I think a lot of that's to do with I-5 and. There's a lot of movement up and down I-5.
Sure. And, of course, most of the businesses and services are in Roseburg, too.
Exactly.
So you mentioned 94 units of housing that UCAN has in Douglas County. Just on a ballpark idea, how many more units would the greater Roseburg area need to get a lot of people into housing?
Significantly more than that. Probably we're in the process of doing a housing study. We have actually a housing group that's been meeting the last year and a half, and it's been a good cross-section of people from the community, including government leaders. But, you know, I would probably estimate that we probably could use at least 1,000 more units to be able to meet the real need. And that's, I think, Penny mentioned housing as being a real barrier. And that's what we see, too, in our work is trying to find affordable housing for people is really tough. We actually have funding to help pay for a couple, 3 months' worth of rent with people, and sometimes we have a hard time finding a unit that we can get people into. So I think, and that's the reality across the whole state. That's not just Douglas County. And so I think the housing shortage has really exacerbated the homeless issue, and I think attacking that problem is going to be really key to addressing it.
Any discussion at Casa de Belen, Penny, I wonder about expansion? It sounds like you haven't hit capacity lately, but given the pressures on housing for the community as a whole, I wonder what you'll look at for the future.
Our strategic plan, we want to look at two different components for that. first off, there's a need for emergency housing. So we want to be able to find a way to offer that service in our county, because that's there's really nothing available. And I'm talking for people outside of even possibly teens, where someone needs a place for one or two nights, three nights, 5 days, because our program is really set up for the long term to really help you into that transitional process. And we're talking people live in our program for up to 2 to 3 years. We are looking for something where people can call and say, hey, I need something tonight, because that's just not really available, with the exception of the warming centers that are available during the winter, the coldest nights, which are great, don't get me wrong, but we need them, 365 days a year. And then the other thing is, we do want to have that housing available for people who possibly leave our program, transition out of our program, are still case managed, but it's a subsidized rent program before they go out into the real housing market. And so that's really where we're looking for the future.
Do you have anything like that, the Training Wheels program, essentially, to give people some support while they're transitioning into being able to pay for it themselves?
We don't individually cost a blend, but we do rely on organizations like UCAN. We're big cheerleaders for UCAN, and they're super helpful to us in several capacities. We do refer them to their housing programs and our local other housing programs.
Yeah, and that's where our case management programs take over, is when somebody is transitioning, is that we have staff who can work with them, identify the issues that are going to be barriers for them, and work with them on trying to figure out how to overcome them. So, I think that's one of the things that's positive with Douglas County, is we have a good working relationship with between all the various organizations, and we really do work hard to try and not duplicate services, and then also to coordinate what we do.
All right. Well, about a similar story that in many other places. Is the vacancy rate about 2% in rentals there, Mike?
Yeah, that's about right. That might even be high.
Wow. That's a continuing story across the region as we go through this series of interviews and out in the cold. Right. Mike Fieldman is the executive director at UCAN, United Community Action Network, in Douglas County, also in Josephine County. Penny McHugh is the executive director at Casa de Belen. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.